The Vietnam War, it's over.
Your job's just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of Spycraft. Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
Welcome to the Inside Track, brought to you exclusively by Americana Rhythm Music Magazine. I am your host and publisher, Greg Tutwiler. We are talking today with New York's Artie Tobiah. According to the Hudson Valley Press, Artie's musical style fuses stories of real people with the musical influences of rock, blues, folk, and country. It's great to talk to you today, Artie.
Well, thanks for having me, Greg. I appreciate it.
You bet. You bet. So give me a little bit of insight into how you got started as a musician.
Well, it's kind of in my DNA, man. My great-grandfather played with John Paul Sousa.
Oh, awesome.
And it's kind of history since then. I had grandfathers and uncles and great-uncles who made careers as musicians. And I guess I got the gene and or that bug, you know?
Sure, yeah.
And that was kind of, you know, like I say, genetically handed down. And then it just became what I do. It's just what I do, you know? I got started, fronting a band, and it's never really ended since then, you know?
I saw a quote or part of a piece of your press material about your entry into fronting the band, and you were quoted as saying that your first experience was, I didn't move one step from the mic stand and never let go of it either. And for the entire time you played, tell me about that and the evolution from those early days of stage fright forward.
Yeah. I mean, I remember vividly probably being just terrified out of my mind. And it was Mountain Jam in the Catskill Mountains long before they started doing Mountain Jam.
Okay.
And we were playing out on a stage in the middle of a field on somebody's property. And, small crowd. And I was probably just terrified. And I just remember at one point being very consciously aware of the fact that I hadn't moved the entire time. I touched the adjustment knob on the stand, and I held this microphone in my hand on the top of the stand and never moved, you know? Now that's not the case. I mean, I don't jump around and flail about the stage, but I'm certainly way beyond that, and I more often than not, probably 99.9% of the time, have a guitar in my hand. So, that was the beginning for sure.
Yeah, okay. And you weren't always a songwriter, right? That wasn't something that you started out as? Is that correct?
Well, no, I mean, I think I've always been a songwriter. Honestly, I can remember writing my first song being probably about 8 or 9 years old.
Okay.
A song I wrote called Birds. I hear the birds singing, I hear the birds tweeting, I see the birds flying over my head. It wasn't very good, but I remember writing it, you know?
Yeah.
And that was the start, and that was probably, like I say, I was probably about 8 years old.
Okay.
And I've always kind of gravitated toward writing, and songwriting's just become what I do, you know?
And in the early stages of your musical career, did you start out playing your original material, or was it more of the...
Pretty early on.
Okay.
I mean, maybe the first 4 or 5 years, I had only had like 1 or 2 songs that I'd written. And then really my second band was largely an original group.
Okay.
And we did very select covers, but we did a cover of a song in a way that you would never have heard it before. So it was almost like our own song and as well.
Okay.
You know, so really, a very brief time being just a cover artist and pretty early on writing and performing our own stuff.
Tell me a little bit about the songwriting process for you and the everybody kind of has their own approach. What type of influences
do you... Yeah, well, for me, it's funny, man. I wrote a song just earlier today, and that's the way it goes. I don't get writer's block. I don't worry about what is going to come out of me next. My catalog's probably over 100 songs by now.
Okay.
And, you know, I find inspiration from an event. I find inspiration from a phrase that I hear somebody say. Sometimes, as is the case today, I heard a song on the radio, and there was a line, and I always think, man, that was the line, but they didn't develop it.
Mm.
And I grab onto a line, and then I just spit off that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I have a lot of, you know, my themes are, you know, like on Aberdeen, which is my new CD, I have songs that are, the theme might be love, the theme might be some unsavory people that I've gotten to know over the years, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I got another one on there, it's almost like a reality show, if you're following somebody on the train wreck of their reality show.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I write, my process is pretty organic. I'm not ever sitting down going, I have to write a song about this today, or I got to write today. I write, and I always write from a standpoint of wanting, I do keep in mind that I want to connect this to somebody. I want the listener to be able to connect to it.
Mm-hmm.
To see themselves in the songs, or to find empathy in the emotion of the character, or, you know, and you know, look, we all have our lives, and we all have our stories, and we all have our challenges and struggles, as well as our successes. And so when I write, I do bear that in mind. I mean, I'm writing it from my lens and my perspective, but what I know is that when I perform, people connect to the lyrical content, and they tie themselves to it, and that's really what it's about for me.
Sure, yeah, I'm sure that's the heart of every artist, is you want to connect with your listener through the music, for sure.
Yeah.
And a singer, being a singer-songwriter, kind of has become a label, but it doesn't really describe an artist's style. How would you classify the type of music that you play?
Yeah, that's a good question. So, you know, I vacillate between the Americana label or you know, identification, the roots rock, acoustic rock, you know, but as you know, I'm Aberdeen. I mean, Mama Calling Me, that's like a real kind of straight country, you know? Aberdeen is sort of a ballady type song, more acoustic based. The song about my father is very acoustic driven, very almost folk-like. So, you know, I kind of struggle with that, like, how do I describe it? But that intro that you gave, you know, I'm a guy that writes with a crossover through rock, folk, country, blues, you know. I don't ever sit down and say, hey, I'm going to write a country song. I'm going to write a blues song.
Yeah.
I write, and when it's done, I go, oh, this is what it is.
Yeah,
you know?
Okay.
Yeah.
What type of audience do you find your music connecting with? Can you tell the type of folks that are drawn to what you perform?
Well, you know, from a demographic standpoint of age, I find that I have a pretty broad range of fans age-wise. In fact, about 2 days ago, I was standing on a sidewalk somewhere, and this young lady approaches me, probably 15 years old, 16 years old, and she said, I just heard a song of yours. You're really good. I like that.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh. And I'm like, wow, really? Like, you know. And somebody she knew my music and had played it for her, and she knew that I was who I was, and so she came and said it to me. And at the same time, I have fans that are, you know, 50, 60, 70 years of age. And so from that standpoint, I think a broad demographic age-wise, but I think generally people who are kind of grounded, and I find people that are grounded, that are more into maybe an older, more traditional way of life. You know, I don't know. I find that's where I get the most support. You know,
sure. I know. People like to shy away from the sounds like definition, but do you have artists or styles of music that tend to influence you more than others, or at least did in the past as you were developing as an artist?
Yeah, I mean, I grew up, I'm the youngest of five, so I grew up listening to a whole bunch of different people as a result of my older siblings listening to different things. I loved, like, you know, I love all the acoustic, you know, I guess it's probably that 70s acoustic stuff,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
But then I got very deeply into the Allman Brothers and the whole Southern Rock thing, and then, you know, never been much of the hard rock or the more rock stuff, but, you know, the Allman Brothers, the whole Southern Rock scene, and then that led me to more blues stuff, you know, Stevie Ray Vaughan, Buddy Guy, all those folks.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, but yet I can say Stevie Ray Vaughan, Buddy Guy, and then say to you, John Denver and the Beach Boys.
Yeah.
You know, but people, my brother-in-law heard Aberdeen for the first time, and my sister was listening to it, and he said, oh, is that a Bob Seger record you're listening to?
Hmm.
So I get stuff like that, mm-hmm. you know, because my voice lends itself in that direction.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, Seger, Mellencamp, Springsteen, I frequently get that from people,
mm-hmm.
you know. And by the way, you know, I'm thankful to be in the company, you know what I mean? I mean, that's good stuff, you know.
It's interesting that you said the Beach Boys. When I listened to the several cuts on the CD, I kind of almost gave me this sense of being in a beach bar. Not that it was beach music, but that was that
right.
that feel that you know, you're sitting on a dock, drinking a beer, having a hamburger, you know, along the coast somewhere.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I love that. That's what I'm going for. Like, I want it to be part of the soundtrack of people's lives.
Yeah.
You know? Like, take it with you. Sit on the dock. Do some fishing. Drive.
Yeah.
Take a road trip. You
yeah,
know.
Yeah.
What song was that triggered that? You know.
I know you were going to ask me that. I've got the CD laying right here. You know what it was? It was the Kryptonite.
Oh, Kryptonite. Yeah.
It was the first cut on
great
the album.
Great little song, man. I get a charge out of that little song. Man.
That's
one of those ones you write and you go, I don't know, man. It's kind of so simple, but then I go, I like it, you know? And that's how it made its way on the record, you know? I mean, it had a lot of songs to choose from, but it made its way on the record because of that, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's got a happy vibe to it, you know? It's kind of got that kind of a sunshine, you know? It's not this dark doom and gloom kind of, you know? It just even though the, you know, the lyrics is, you know, if something to the effect of if I was Superman, you would be Kryptonite. You know, it's just kind of a...
Yeah, I mean, she's bad news, this girl.
Yeah,
I'm trying to keep my distance.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, but it doesn't... The lyrics are like that, but the vibe doesn't feel that way. It's, you know, people say lots of times about bluegrass music.
Well, but you pick up on something. That's not a mistake. That's the contradiction of the song.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
It's the conflict of the song is that here's this guy trying to do the right thing, but this girl is just... She's making him weak.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's conflict, you know?
Yeah,
so
yeah,
that's
it's cool.
The contrast of the musical presentation and the lyric. I mean, you get that. That's cool.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, in bluegrass music, it's, you know, the music is always feels good and happy, but the lyrics and the story are so dark, you know, you can't, unless you truly dig in there and listen to the lyrics, you don't realize, like, oh, wait a minute, there's something more going on here than just a happy feel-good song. So, I like that, what you did with that. Yeah. So,
yeah, it's about, and at the same time, it's maybe about love. I don't know, you know?
Yeah, so, sure. Yeah, right. Yeah, the whole thing's toxic, right?
right.
So you mentioned the current CD is Aberdeen, and I think you've got one sort of in the works for a little bit later this year. So you've been pretty busy in the studio. Tell me about Aberdeen and what you've got coming up.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. I mean, it's been a bit of a journey, and so the quick snapshot is I released my first CD in 2001.
Okay.
And then shortly thereafter, I got run over by a car.
Oh, my.
And that really jammed me up quite a bit for a number of years.
I bet.
I play about 200 nights a year still.
Okay.
And did so then. But I released two CDs after I had the accident. But to be honest with you, one of them was a recording that I'd already had. And I realized I could now, with technology, turn it into a CD.
Okay.
And the other one, I recorded it. But I have part of my situation was I had amnesiatic symptoms, and I don't really remember making that third record, Chase the Sun.
Wow!
And I mean, I remember it like in bits, sure it was one session, but it was many, many sessions.
Hmm.
And then we got to Aberdeen, which only took such a long time to get to from in between releases, because, yeah, I just, like I said, I was still kind of in recovery mode. I just wasn't in the right frame of mind to do it, which I finally understood. And then I got to Aberdeen, and now I'm eager to stay on a more, I'm a very up-tempo person. I do about 20 hours a day every day.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm planning to preach and skid my lane to the coffin. I'm not planning to just go there slow.
Yeah, so, sure.
You know, so I am, I've got some things in the work for another CD. I actually plan to get it done this summer, but now something's presented itself that could be very exciting and an opportunity for me that hasn't been fully worked out yet. But I've had an opportunity to work with some really good people, and that'll probably delay that release by more like early 2016.
Okay, okay.
But even what that's going to be now, I'm not 100% sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But Aberdeen was, I'm real pleased with that and really looking to gain some traction with it and get some, maybe chart with it a little bit. I'm trying to work with a couple of radio promoters now and maybe get more on the festival circuit and the house concert circuit. Mm-hmm. I'm willing to play and go wherever they would like to have me,
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So,
and you mentioned 200 dates a year. I presume that you're full time at this. This is what you do with your career.
Yeah, I mean, I play 200 nights a year, I don't always have the they're not always the best, but I'm out there 200 nights a year, and it consumes a lot of my time.
Sure,
you can
does,
imagine.
Yeah.
And it's wear and tear, and it's pretty regional here for me within the New York area.
Uh-huh.
Basically tri-state, like New York, Connecticut, and Jersey.
Okay.
And it's a variety of things. I'm doing updates. I'm doing opening act stuff. I'm doing festivals. I'm doing house concerts. It's just being out there, and it's funny because my last couple of good opportunities came from the smallest of gigs I do, but they brought me some big stuff. So
yeah.
you just never know, so you have to be out there all the time.
Sure,
you know?
Yeah, yeah. Do you have a particular venue that you feel like you find yourself in more times than others?
I don't know about more time than others. I mean, I have some favorite places, that I like to play. One of which is a small little venue that I play in, but kind of, it's small, it's cozy, it's intimate. The people are always very generous in their listening, and then I play some of these bigger rooms that are 400 or 500 seats, and
yeah, okay,
those are great, man. Those are great, And festivals are always fun. I have never had a bad time at a festival.
What type of festivals are you typically playing?
Well, we're again doing some of the smaller ones within the area.
Mm-hmm.
Not all of them. I mean, there's one of the festivals up in Connecticut over the they get thousands and thousands of people there. Depends on how many people you get.
Sure. Yeah. Okay.
But that is something we definitely, I'm hoping I can move Aberdeen to a place where I can get people. Because you said before about, I feel like I'm sitting on the dock, maybe fishing or something. Like, the stuff we do just lends itself to that festival setting.
Mm-hmm.
And my guys in the band are all great and, easy to work with and just, easy on the stage, easy off the stage.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, I don't think we've ever had a bad festival experience ever.
Yeah,
even if
things
aren't doing right, like it's just the way we're all built, and we reach the audience when we do them. So,
yeah. So how can folks hear your music, find out more about you? Where can they find you on the web?
Yeah, well, I got my website, which is just artietobia.com, artietobia.com, and then of course I'm on Facebook and Twitter. Under Artie Tobia Band on Facebook, and on Twitter, Tobiah Music. And, yeah, always happy to chat with people and you know, gain new fans and listeners and, you know. And, of course, I'm on Spotify and iTunes and, mm-hmm. you know, all that stuff. Amazon, CD Baby, you know, Apple Music. I'm on all those. I'm available on all those things, Pandora. So, you know, I'm out there quite a bit and, you know, pretty easy to find. If you put my name in, you'll find it.
Okay. And the current CD is Aberdeen, and thanks, Artie. Appreciate it. It was great to talk to you today.
Hi, you too, Greg. Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Thanks for tuning in to another edition of The Inside Track. We sure do appreciate you sticking around. Join us again real soon when we get together with another great artist and talking about their music. Have a great day.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune in to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.